میشونی؟ gemeente, net die afkondigings voor die kerkdiens. Vandaag is die gawes bestem vir kerk en onkoste kerkverband, en u word daar, ja, ons het die lesing gehad. Dan die volgende lesings van professor Bredenhof is morgenavond, maandag 6 juli, om 7:30, en die onderwerp is Thank God, Becoming More Grateful to the God of All Grace. Dit gaan oor die beginsel en die bedreigings en praktyk vir christelike dankbaarheid, en dit sal in die VGK Pretoria plaasvind. En dan woensdag aand 8 juli van 5:00 tot 6:00 is daar inligtingsvergadering vir belangstellende broeders en hulle ouers oor teologiese studie. Dit gaan dan in die VGK Pretoria Maranata plaasvind. En dan Dominee Boersma sal namens die deputate die opties verduidelik om vir die bediening te studeer, plaaslik sowel as internasionaal. En professor Bredenhof sal verduidelik hoe studies by die CRTS, die Canadian Reformed Theological Seminary, werk. Goed, tot sover die afkondigings.
If you are able, please rise for worship. We confess our dependence on the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And God gives you his greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's worship God this evening by singing together Psalm 107, verse 1. 20 and 21. we worship God together and as we prepare to listen to his word, let us pray for God's blessing. O Lord, our God in heaven, you are robed with majesty. You are surrounded with strength and equity. O Lord, our God, you have established this whole world with your hand, and with your constant power you uphold it. So we may know from your creation and from your word that your name, O God, is great, that you are a strong tower, that you are a sure refuge, that you are for your people a mighty fortress and our everlasting hope. O Lord, our God, we thank you for the great privilege that we may call on your name this Lord's Day, that we may be heard by you and answered all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What a comfort it is that we can know you as God, the God who is near and powerful and always ready to help us in our time of need. And as we turn to your word this evening, we pray, Father, that you would please open our eyes. Open our eyes, O Lord, to your truth, for in ourselves we're not able to see. Sin clouds our vision, just like sin hinders so much of what we do every day. Sin corrupts our thoughts and misdirects our words, and sin even stains the best of our good deeds. Father, take away the sin from our lives, forgive us, and help us, in spite of our own sinfulness, to understand that we would see and hear clearly the truth of your word. Help us this evening through your word to grow in our knowledge of you. Help us through your word, through Psalm 77, to see a little more of your glory, to see a little more of your might, your love, and your wisdom. Please encourage each of us, O Lord, in our struggles of life, in our joys of life, in the daily activities of life. Encourage each of us to draw ever nearer to you, our God and our Father in Jesus Christ. Hear us in his name. Amen. We will turn to Psalm 77 in a few moments. That will be our text. But before we get to Psalm 77, we'll read from Romans and chapter 5. So turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Romans. And there in Romans 5, we read the word of God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So far from Scripture. As mentioned, we're going to be looking at Psalm 77 tonight, and we'll begin to sing from this psalm. We'll sing of it after the sermon as well, but we'll sing now Psalm 77, verse 1, 3, 4, and 6.
Thank you.
text this evening is Psalm 77. We'll turn there in God's Word, Psalm 77. Which has the title, For the Director of Music for Jeduthun of Asaph, a Psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired, Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, probably everyone has a favorite psalm. Some go to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Others love Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Each of the psalms has its own story, its own beauty. Now, unlike other books of the Bible, Psalms was written over a long span of time, from the days of Moses in the desert all the way to when the people came home from exile in Babylon. It's a book that is 1,000 years in the making. And unlike other parts of the Bible, the Psalms were written by quite a few different people. About half of them are by David. Other Psalms are by Moses, by Solomon, by Ethan, by Asaph, the sons of Korah. The one this evening is by Asaph. And sometimes we think of psalms like this one as being about praise and worship. The psalms are happy songs that you love to sing in church. And there are those, but there are many other kinds of psalms too. There are psalms for teaching, psalms that retell the history of God's people. There are psalms that lament great disasters, psalms that confess sin, cry out to God in pain. These many, many psalms have one thing in common. They are the expressions of God's people across many ages, expressions of God's people in their experience of faith, whether they are in the midst of agony or burdened by guilt, whether they are celebrating with great joy, basking in God's comfort. This is what we love about the Psalms. They are connected to our own experience as believers. They are very real. And yet all the scriptures and the Psalms too, they're less about us. They're less about our experience and they're more about God. And that's what we'll see in Psalm 77. The Psalms are about God's strength, God's faithfulness, God's compassion. That's actually the real power of the Psalms. A lot has changed since David and his harp, but one thing has not changed, and that's the goodness of the Lord our God as he saves broken people through his Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 77 shows this so clearly. Our theme is that a troubled child of God finds a reason to hope. And we'll look at the irritation of a lonely soul, the intention to look heavenward, and the illustration of God's grace. The irritation of a lonely soul. That's where we begin. Whenever we read the Psalms, it's good to start with the title. And the Psalm that is before us tonight has the title which tells us a few things. It's written, first of all, for the director of music. A lot of churches have musicians in church, in the worship service, and in the same way, there were musicians who led the worship in the house of God in the time of the Old Testament. And the lead musician that this psalm is for is Jeduthun, for the director of music, for Jeduthun. Chronicles tells us that Jeduthun was a worship leader in the time of King David. And Jeduthun's name is really appropriate because Jeduthun means giver of praise. And finally, the last part of the title, it says that this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a priest or a minister in God's temple, and his special task was to lead the singing. And so what we have in front of us is a song by a musician for musicians. And after that, maybe you'd expect it then to be an upbeat song, a happy song for worship, but it's not. There's anguish here. There's wrestling in prayer, even complaining. And yet, long before we get to the last word of this psalm, we know that it turns out well. How do we know that this psalm turns out well? It's what Asaph says at the start, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me." He's telling us, before he gets into all his trouble, he's telling us where he goes with his burden, to the God of all grace. And beloved, that is a good reminder for us that we cannot go wrong when we begin, like Asaph does, with prayer. When we're troubled by something, or when we're worried about something in our life, we shouldn't explain it away or try to ignore it or try to escape it in some way. No, we ought to pray. To pray at once, to pray knowing that God is our Father in Jesus Christ and that his ears are open to us. I cried out to God to hear me. And God will hear. When Asaph gives voice to his pain before God, that is when he finds his peace. But we're not there yet. We're not at the peace yet. We first have to consider what is bothering him. He says in verse 2, "When I was in distress, I sought the Lord." What was his distress? Other psalms mention all kinds of difficulties and concerns. Sometimes it's when a person was being chased by his enemies, or it's a body racked by illness. It's a heart oppressed by the guilt of sin, but not here. We never learn actually what troubles Asaph. This child of God is overwhelmed. He's depressed. You could say he's embittered for some unknown reason. And saying nothing about the cause actually opens up this psalm to even more people. It's for all of us to see ourselves reflected in it. Everyone has some measure of trouble, and some have a far greater measure of trouble. It's the loneliness that you have year after year. It's the misery of chronic pain or the anxiety of having cancer and going through treatment. It's the flood of disappointments in your family, it's conflict at work, you're anxious about money, you can't escape regrets about your past. Many troubles. And in his trouble, Asaph tells us, at night, I stretched out untiring hands. That's the posture for prayer so often in the Bible. He's reaching out to God. Asaph is going to the right place again, but notice a couple things about this prayer, things that show just how distressed he is. First of all, he's doing it at night. He's doing this when he should be sleeping. That is how bad trouble can be, can't it? When trouble will not even let you rest. The night is supposed to be a time of relief. Being in bed is supposed to be a time of comfort. But sometimes it's oppressive. We lay there hounded by all our thoughts, unable to quell our anxieties. We're getting more frustrated by the moment. On the one hand, tomorrow cannot come soon enough because then we'll actually be able to do something about our trouble. But we also know that when tomorrow comes, we'll have to face the fact that we are weak and helpless, and maybe we can't chase this problem away. Thinking about it all, the psalmist is so upset. He can't sleep, can't put words together to reason it out. He says to God in verse 4, "You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak." He's trying to pray, but it's getting hard. He prays, he says in verse 2, he prays and his soul refuses to be comforted. Sometimes we pray to God and we are filled almost at once with a sense of peace, comfort. Maybe you've had that when you pray in a dark moment, in a difficult spot, and as you pray, you just know that the Lord your God surrounds you. You don't have the answer. The problem hasn't gone away, but you have comfort even as you pray. But not this time, not for Asaph. He has to keep praying. His soul refuses comfort. He has to keep praying, stretching out untiring hands to God. And here's the worst of it. He says in verse 3, "I remembered you, O God, and I groaned." Read that verse again. "I remembered God, and I groaned." That's not what we expect. Thinking about God actually brings more pain. More pain. Why is that? Is he pondering God's anger against sinners? Is he thinking about God's mysterious ways in the world, how the wicked always thrive and the righteous always suffer? Well, it turns out that Asaph is meditating especially on the past. He says in verse 5, "I thought about the former days, the years of long ago." As he tosses and turns, Asaph looks back in the past. He takes a trip down memory lane, and it's not pleasant. Asaph recalls how the days back then, they were so much better. His days at the temple, leading the worshipers, rejoicing in God. Today, he says, there is no happy song. He can barely put words together. You look at what you used to have. You remember, perhaps, happier seasons in your life. In the past, when things were better, life was simpler. Maybe you remember a time when your blessings seemed fuller, when you were young, more carefree, when you still enjoyed your daily work, or before you got sick, before there was all this trouble with the kids. Today can seem so full of trouble compared to what we used to enjoy. We might not say it aloud, but the question begins to take shape in our minds. Where is God these days? Why has God taken away so much? Why has God left me with empty hands? I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I thought about the former days. Asaph has come into the wilderness, we would say. He's close to losing hope. And it is a dark place for a child of God to be. There can be many burdens, many hardships, struggles, but this is the most terrifying, to have the sense that God is far away, that God has withdrawn his hand of blessing. You know you ought to pray. You need to pray. You do pray, but your confidence is beginning to falter. What is one more prayer going to do? And yet, this child of God has not given up. He hasn't. Just as Jesus taught us, Asaph will pray and will not give up. He writes in verse 6, "My heart meditated," or "my heart mused, my spirit inquired." He's coming to that point where it's a make or break moment. It can go either way. It's time to face the truth. He's musing. He's meditating deeply. And it's what he does in verse 7 to 9. If you look at those six questions there, direct, loaded questions. If you answer yes to even one of these questions, it means that you have no hope. Just one yes to these questions, and you might as well give up. Pack it in. Stop praying. Give up on God. Will the Lord reject forever? Has God forgotten to be merciful? If you say those questions aloud, they are scary. And yet Asaph can't bring himself to answer yes. You listen to his questions and you can hear him whisper the answer. He writes the answer between the lines, you would say. Verse 7, "Will the Lord reject forever?" No. God is faithful. Will he never show his favor again? No, God is full of grace. Grace upon grace. Has God's unfailing love vanished forever? No, we know God's mercies are new every morning. Has God's promise failed? No, God's word is living and enduring. Has God forgotten to be merciful? No, God never forgets mercy for his children. Has he in anger withheld compassion? No, of course not. God's anger, it may last for a moment, but his favor endures forever. You can hear what Asaph is doing on his bed at night. He's not just remembering the good old days. He's remembering the good Lord, his God. He's meditating on the character of God. And brothers and sisters, this is such a good and a healthy thing for us to do, to remind ourselves often of God's holiness, God's goodness, God's compassion, God's truth. That alone is what can lift us, can cheer us, can restore our hope. Will God reject me? Will God break his promise to me? I couldn't bear the thought, and I know that it could not be true, not because of me, but because of him. God would not break his word to me because of who God is in Christ. For the sake of Christ, God's love will not fail you, not ever. Through Jesus, God's promises to you are all true. Joined to Christ by faith, God will never reject you, not forget you, not push you off. It's the answer to 1,000 hard questions. It's the unchanging answer to the most profound struggles of life, that we go back to the gospel, the good news of who God is. There we find peace and hope. Well, Asaph has walked through a dark valley. He's not out of it yet, but his outlook, as you read the psalm, you see, has started to change. He's realizing God is not indifferent to his troubles, but God's love is steadfast. He says in verse 10, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High." Sleepless Asaph resolves to look to God. Verse 11, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles of long ago." He remembers, he says, in the night he devotes his thoughts to how God has been gracious. He looks to the past across the years of his own life and sees who was there the whole time. It was God. All along it was God working wonders, showing grace. Asaph speaks of remembering the years of the Most High. That means as long as Asaph had lived, this one thing was true. God had been with him. What a beautiful pathway to hope for all of us, to remember the works of God on our behalf, to reflect, even as you lay in your bed at night, to reflect how the light of God's love has never gone out. Over the years of your life, was there ever a time when God's mercy failed? Was there ever a time when God turned you away? You may appeal to this, the many years that the Most High stretched out his right hand over you, shielding you, supporting you in love. We're probably not very good at this kind of remembering. We say the past is past. We're always rushing ahead. We're always going on to the next thing. But we should remember the deeds of the Lord, his mercies across all the years of our life. Remembering like this, it's not just for the elderly, but any child of God, young or old, ought to do this, to say what God has done for you before. To point out those times in your life when it seemed all hope was lost, but God came through there yet again. I'm sure you have had those times. They are times for us to cherish and to remember, for they tell us something about God. They tell us how God answers our prayers and meets our fears. It's true that our worries, our fears can swallow up all our joy. We can be so consumed by trouble that we don't see that big picture. But take a look. The big picture is one of God's steadfast care. Never has a child of God been truly alone. Never has a child of God been truly forsaken. Christ's word to you is steadfast. I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For Asaph, the worship leader, his outlook is getting better. His song is getting happier. If you put his mood in the psalm, if you put it on a graph, you would see that after a very low dip at the start, he's climbing back up. He's ascending again to the joy of faith. He continues to focus his mind on God and his ways, until in verse 13, he asks another question, the seventh question of the psalm: what God is so great as our God? And this time he doesn't leave the answer hidden between the lines, but he shouts it out. He says, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. The Lord God is matchless in might. He's incomparable in his grace." And that makes that little word in verse 13 even more amazing. He says, this great God is our God. Underline that word. He's ours. He and we are joined. God is the mighty one, the miracle worker, the world shaker, but God is also so near. He's our God. Asaph could go to the temple and he could meet with God every day. And we're allowed to make Asaph's words our own. God's dwelling is no longer in the temple in Jerusalem, but now God's dwelling is in us. Through Christ, God came down to dwell among us in the flesh. Through his Spirit, we become sanctuaries, temples for God. That means never distant from God, never out of the reach of God, never without hope in God. We read from Romans 5 where Paul says, we have hope in God, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Spirit who is given to us. Well, now Asaph's song, it's building to a climax. It's reaching its high point. What God is so great as our God? Asaph says, look at this example of God's greatness. He meditates on that long panorama of God's works, and he comes around to the descendants, verse 15, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Jacob and Joseph were among the founding fathers of Israel. Jacob and Joseph were shining examples of what God can do. For God, Asaph says, redeemed with his mighty arm his people. There's one thing that reveals God's love like none other. There's one thing. We experience God's love in many things, of course, the blessings of food, health. We experience God's goodness in the pleasant weather and the blessings of friendship. But there's one proof of God's love that surpasses all others. That is what Asaph calls redemption. You redeemed your people. God saves those who have no power to save themselves. God, with his mighty arm, redeemed his people. And God did that many times, of course. God redeemed his people, saved them from the flood, from famine, from the Philistines. And yet there is one moment of redemption, one moment of salvation that for Asaph shines brighter than all the others. And that is when God brought his people out of Egypt. When you read the Old Testament, that one event is so often brought to mind. It's celebrated again and again. Remember what God did in Egypt. Remember how God saved us. And so as Asaph lays in bed thinking on God, he replays that scene at the Red Sea. It's like a movie that he has rolling in his head, thinking about that long time ago when the Israelites were slaves of the cruel Egyptians. And you know the story. God put pressure on Pharaoh until he let them go. And now the Israelites have departed, but the Egyptians are chasing them. It looked like this is going to be the end for God's people. It looks like there's going to be a massacre on the shores of the Red Sea. But then, as Asaph keeps watching and remembering, he sees this. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. There was rain and thunder and lightning, and it wasn't just a storm system passing through. This was God himself. Asaph says, your thunder was heard. God was coming down and opening the way through the waters. Your path led through the sea. Verse 19, your way through the mighty waters. At the last minute, God came. Walked with invisible footprints through the raging waters of the sea. And then later on, the waters rushed back to crush the Egyptians as God led his people on. And he brought them through. Verse 20 says, "You led your people like a flock." I want you to see the contrast in verse 20 in the deeds of God. 1 minute, God is crashing storm and raging whirlwind. And the next moment, he's a gentle shepherd leading his people like a flock. God will lead his people to safety and bring them home. What lengths God will go to redeem his people. After all that, Asaph says, is God going to ignore the cries of his little child? After redeeming me at such a cost, will God now ignore my prayers? Asaph says, no, God will preserve me. God will lead me safely onward. Even though I cannot see his footprints, I know that God is there. God is stepping alongside me, invisible, but ever present. Well, for the greatest moment of our salvation, we no longer talk about leaving Egypt and crossing the sea. We talk about the cross, Jesus dying for sin, then rising again in victory, then as a king going to the heavens. Like Paul says, when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. As we lay sleepless in our beds at night, and as we sit in traffic, as we rest on the couch, as we come to church, these are the moments that we may meditate on. The cross of Jesus, the resurrection of our Lord, his ascension as King of the universe. In those glorious moments of redemption, we see who our God really is. We see that his promise is unbreakably sure. His great works, his mighty deeds, his miracles, they tell us that we have every reason to trust in him. He will not reject forever. His promise will not fail. God will not forget his mercy. Reconciled by Christ's death, we are also saved by his life. That is our reason for hope, now and always. Amen. Let's keep singing from this psalm, Psalm 77, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, your ways are holy. What God is so great as you, our God? You, O Lord, are the God who performs miracles, who displays your power among the peoples, and you display your power and your grace in our lives too. We remember how with your mighty arm you have redeemed your people, how time and again you have saved us, saving us so perfectly, especially through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that through Christ we may again stand before you, that Christ has brought us back to you, our Creator, and delivered us from all our sins. O Lord, our God, we thank you for this gospel of salvation. We thank you for the good news which is found on every page of your word, in the book of Psalms also, and in the mouth of Asaph. Father in heaven, when we are discouraged in life and when we are down, despairing, worrying, O Lord, when we have many regrets and hurts, when we are sick, when we feel the weight of this world's brokenness, help us to find our rich comfort in one place alone, in you, our God. For we know that you will not reject us forever. You will most certainly show your favor again. Your unfailing love will not vanish, nor will your promise fail for all time. O Lord our God, you will not forget to be merciful, nor in anger withhold your compassion. For we know you as our God in Christ, one who is rich in love and mercy, one who is perfectly just and also compassionate. Help us, O Lord, to remember your word and its promises, to remember how you have shown your faithfulness in our lives, that you always have been steadfast and you always will be, even to the very end. Father in heaven, may the work of Christ continue in all of us in this new week. Help us to daily live in the joy that he has granted to us, that we would always have the confidence of belonging to him. Father, bless us with strength and wisdom to carry on the work that he has commanded us to do. Strengthen our faith, Father, when it is weak. Increase our devotion. Fortify our love and enliven our hope. To you, our Almighty and our Triune God, be all our praise, our adoration, and our thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand together and make a confession of our faith, singing our creed. now worship God with the giving of our gifts in the collection. And after the collection, we'll sing together, standing our last song, Psalm 56, verse 1, 3, and 4. receive the blessing of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.